The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
I'm Tim Taggart. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We're visiting today with President Ken and Sister Mary Duvall, recently returned from the Spain-Bilbao mission as mission president and wife. What a pleasure it is for us to have you both in the studio today and to be able to visit with both of a mission president and his wife, get that unique perspective, but both of you being able to share some of your experience. I have to say that I've known President Sister Duvall for many years, living in the same area, and we're great friends. So you have to understand that we go back a long way, and I'm just delighted to be able to conduct this interview. You returned just a couple of weeks ago from your mission experience, and you must have thought a lot about your experience as you've been home. Tell us a little bit about Spain, about the Bilbao area, and about what makes the Spain-Bilbao mission unique among missions.
Our mission covers the northern part of Spain, and the Bilbao is right in the center of the Basque country. And so that part of the world where the Basque people come from. I introduced myself to a person once and said I was from Salt Lake City, and they said, I don't know where that is. And I said, well, close to California, because everybody knows that. And they said, well, are you close to Boise? And they knew all about Boise because of the Basque people that are there. But that part of the country is very independent. They love that part of the country. It's so stunningly beautiful. It's right up against the Cantabria Bay or the Bay of Biscay, and stunningly beautiful part of the world.
Neat. Sounds like a great place to serve.
It was marvelous. We loved every minute and wish we were still there.
Well, Sister Duvall, tell us a little bit about your experience with the missionaries. What was it like to have responsibility over the missionaries? How many did you have over the course of your 3 years? How many are serving now? And just what was the feeling of being able to serve in that kind of a capacity?
Well, it was a marvelous experience. We had, on the average, about 82, between 82 and 90 missionaries at any given time. So we served with about 240 missionaries overall. One thing that I was unprepared for was how much my heart could expand to love every single one of these missionaries. They become your sons and daughters. You care for them. You worry about them. You pray for them. You love working with them. You are excited to share experiences with them. It's a marvelous experience to add that many young men and women as your own sons and daughters.
I bet it's an incredible experience.
It is.
So of the missionaries that served in your mission, what percentage were from the United States and from other areas of the world? Where were your missionaries from?
Well, because of the visa issues, we have an agreement with the Spanish government. So everyone comes either from the United States or from the European Union. And when we got there, for example, 60% of the missionaries were from Utah, Idaho, and Arizona, what we call the Rocky Mountain Front. If you add California in that, it went up to 65% of the missionaries. And we only had 12% coming from Europe. Before we left, that had changed. We'd almost doubled the number of missionaries coming from Europe as a percent. And that from Utah and Idaho and Arizona had gone down to 38%. California sent a whole bunch, so we had a whole bunch from California.
Uh-huh.
But mostly from Western United States, a few representing the Eastern United States, one or two from Germany, one or two from France, one or two from the British Isles, and then all the rest were from Spain.
How many were from Spain that served there? Just a few at a time?
Yes, we started with five missionaries from Spain, of which I believe only three of those were actually native Spaniards.
Mm-hmm.
The other two were South Americans who had moved there. And when we left, we had 16 from the European Union. Again, some were native Spaniards, and the rest were from other parts of South America mm-hmm. who are living in Spain.
Of course, many of the native missionaries from Spain serve elsewhere. When we were serving in the England-Bristol mission, we had some of our greatest missionaries that came from Spain to serve in our mission. So we're trading back and forth from all over.
Just sent two of our missionaries to England, one to the Dominican Republic, one to Chile.
That's great.
We've had several serve in the Salt Lake City mission on Temple Square also.
Terrific. And each of them bring back, I'm sure, a unique perspective and a help to the church that's being established in Spain because of their experience.
The northern part of Spain is very much a beginning part of the church. We didn't have any stakes, although that will change on the 5th of September. But it was all districts, many smaller branches. Almost everyone was a convert, first generation. And so their idea of what the church is those 30 people that attend in a rented building.
Yeah.
And to have a send off a son, for example, or in our case, we had a branch that sent their daughter to the Temple Square mission and came back with a completely different view of a worldwide church.
Yeah. And such strength for the future.
And strength for the future.
Yeah. Now, you had a different experience than I had. In England, all of our mission was organized into stakes. You served over districts, and so were the ecclesiastical leader for all the member. What kind of experience was that?
I love that opportunity because, for example, I needed to sign most of the temple recommends. So I had a personal interview with all of the faithful members of the church, and they became such a key part of our lives. How yeah. we love the members of the Spain Bilbao mission.
What a great experience.
Yeah.
I'm sure. As you think about the young men and young women that served there and the missionary couples, what are some of the responsibilities that you had, Sister Duval, in working with the young missionaries? You kind of divide that up. It's not something that you're given a specific assignment saying you have to do this. But as a couple, I'm sure you just kind of organize that and do some of the things that you've heard has been done before. What part of the responsibility did you work with?
Well, one of my favorite parts was I became the mom of the mission, working mostly with their health. If a missionary had a problem with their health of any kind or concerns or questions, they would call me and I had an opportunity to talk to them. One funny experience, though, showed that I couldn't totally replace a mom. We had a missionary that had struggled for several days and had talked to me several times. And finally he said, "Sister Duval, can't I just call my mom?" So I know sometimes when you're sick, you just need your mom. But I felt wonderful for the opportunity of serving with the young men in that way. I also had the opportunity to speak at district meetings and zone conferences. We also spoke very frequently in a lot of the branches because President Duval was the ecclesiastical leader, so we had an opportunity to speak almost every week, which is a great privilege and a great honor. We also spent time when President Duval was doing interviews. I had the opportunity to teach in district meetings and help the missionaries practice some of the skills and listen to them teach the lessons. It was a great privilege.
That's wonderful.
One of the things that she did that I thought had a huge impact on our mission was she tracked every baptism by name. Every investigator that we had that had a baptismal date, she knew their name, she knew how we found them, she knew where they were at in the lessons, and the missionaries developed that love of being able to call her and say, "Sister Duval, I just set a baptismal date, let me tell you about it." Became an exciting event for the missionaries as well as for us.
That's great. And some accountability for the missionaries as well. That's terrific. As you think about the members and their experience as they grow and the church is established, what are some of the things, activities, or other things that happen among the members to keep them engaged and connected with the church?
The church there is very spread out. So, for example, to get to a district meeting would take most people 2 hours to get there. So what they're doing is focusing on their little branches. And a lot of it is, as you know, preparing lessons or working with the few number of youth that we have. Mostly it comes back again to the fundamental principle of studying the gospel in your home and making your home the strong part of the gospel in a city where you're you might be one of just very few people that belong to the church.
Mm-hmm. Are there a growing number of families that are all members of the church, or is it still, like many areas, kind of divided among the members and non-members in the church?
Clearly, most of the families are part member families, but that's changing, and that's bringing some exciting change with it. For example, there's a branch in the southern part of our mission, still the northern part of Spain, but in there is about 10 returned missionaries that are now have returned and have married returned missionaries, and that branch has the strongest primary and the strongest young men, young women, as it grows from these small little roots. And there's a good example of a branch who will be a ward here shortly, but it's that second generation, or they were baptized when they were young and served a mission, and now their children are the second full generation, and it's really changing.
President Hinckley said the church has grown over generations, and
it is.
And you can see that happening, the strength of that second generation and the rising generation coming to model after the returned missionary couple that they admire and want to be like them, and it really brings a fruition of the church.
One of the things we tried to focus on with our what we called our Spanish missionaries or our native missionaries from that part of the world is they weren't just missionaries. They weren't just district leaders or senior companions. We wanted to make sure every time we were with them that we were teaching priesthood leadership skills, because we knew they were going back to be the future of the church.
And that also implied, I'm sure, to many from Europe and elsewhere, even from the United States that come from small branches and other things, that mission experience is a foundation. I've heard the brethren say that even if we had no baptisms at all, you'd still maintain the mission program and the missionaries, because it's how we grow the leadership of the church.
Yeah. And a lot of the missionaries, for example, that would come from the Wasatch Front, who have never seen a ward smaller than 400 people, get into a branch of 20 people, and they learn a whole lot about the fundamentals of the church as well.
Loving
people. So it helps everybody.
Fellowshipping and service. And speaking of service, are the missionaries engaged in service and the members engaged in service in the mission?
It was very difficult to establish a service organization. Most of the organizations in northern Spain won't let you use your missionary name tag, won't let you talk about religion, and so we kind of stayed away from those. What we tried to do was focus on random acts of service. And making sure as you're walking down the street, you help somebody carry their groceries home. Or one example, we were walking down the street and a brand new couple, were trying to get a couch up to the fifth floor by hauling it up with a rope. And the missionary spent a half an hour helping them get them up. That kind of random act of service. Another example, a lady carrying a new color TV home in the metro got problems with her card and couldn't get out of the metro. The missionaries passed through and saw she was struggling, asked her, "Can we help you?" And she handed them the TV. And I thought, how incredible that she would pass a color TV across to missionaries on the other side of the gate while she wrestled with a way to get out. But she said, "I knew who they were. I didn't have any problems with that."
Well, that's great. And Christ-like service is the best kind of service anyway. And service one-on-one has the impact of really the Spirit being carried along with it as well.
Often they would help paint a home for an investigator family or fix a porch or something like that in random acts of service.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How is the public perception of the church and the missionaries? Is the church becoming more acceptable? Is it still considered strange and weird? And are the missionaries treated badly, or are they accepted more? How is that going?
Yeah, the church still has that image of polygamy, and some of the things, particularly in the last year or two, with all of the news that came out of the United States on polygamy, that seemed to be kind of a big issue in northern Spain. But more and more people are understanding that that's different, that's not us. The white shirts are so identifiable in northern Spain. And you stop anybody and talk about the Mormon church, and they'll talk about, "Oh, yeah, we see your missionaries." One of them said to me, normally they're a lot younger than you. But, but that was a identifiable, that white shirt and name badge is so identifiable in northern Spain.
So the missionaries are treated pretty well, not necessarily persecuted or treated badly by the public.
Yep. And public in general, very respectful. In fact, one lady one time on the street said to her young son, who was not behaving very well, "I want you to be a Mormon so you can go on a mission like them." But it was the way they acted that caught her attention.
That's great. That says a lot about the missionaries and about the way they behave.
It does.
Would that every missionary could act like that to be an example to moms throughout the world. That's a great concept. Speaking of being a little bit older, did you have an opportunity to have any missionary couples in the mission? And what kind of experience have you had with senior couples?
We had three. It was very difficult to get senior couples to northern Spain because it's Europe, so it's much more expensive. And if you speak Spanish, anywhere else in the world is less expensive to go than Europe. But it's without a doubt, in my opinion, the finest Spanish-speaking mission in the world. So we're always trying to sell that to couples. We could use probably 20 couples as mentors in branches, branch leaders, branch presidents, those kinds of things to help these new members see what the church is really like. But the ones that came were phenomenal. We had one set who came not speaking any Spanish, and they just did an outstanding job because you can feel the love in any language. And they had a huge impact. All three of the couples did.
A lot of times couples are reluctant sometimes to serve because they feel like they don't have any particular talents, and they have a vision of their mission would be knocking on doors and talking to people about the gospel, when in reality that would be a waste of the talents and gifts and skills that they have. What were some of the things that the senior couples did that were a blessing to the church?
One of the things that I noticed, one of the senior couples decided she was going to learn everybody's name in the branch that she served in. And so the very first day, even though she couldn't understand Spanish, she wrote down everybody's name. And immediately the people fell in love with her because she cared enough to learn their names. We had several couples teach piano. In fact, all three of our couples, the wife, taught piano lessons, which not many people in Spain know how to play the piano. So it was a great blessing. And I think they taught 10 and 12 people at a time. So it was a great blessing to the branch.
Organizing Sunday meetings, just simple things like that everybody on the Wasatch Front has seen that for years and years, is a brand new thing for the new members in the world. And so anything that would have to do with organization, how do you conduct a meeting, those kinds of things that we try to teach our youth, that's what they did there.
And like you said, that the influence of the love that a missionary couple has and brings with them from their life experience is probably one of the greatest influences, and it changes lives. Our experience was many of the senior couples baptized as many as the younger just because they worked sometimes with the less active, they were trusted, and what a help to the young missionaries as well, I'm sure.
A huge impact on retention, too. When that someone gets baptized, if you have a senior couple there putting their arm around them and they stay there while the young missionaries might move around every 6 months, but the senior couple's there for a year and a half, they've got a steady staple that anchors them to the church there.
Yeah. Well, you've had a lot of wonderful experiences and opportunities that I'm sure were different than past mission presidents because things continually change. Could you discuss, there may be a number of listeners who are listening who may not understand what the Preach My Gospel is all about. They hear sometimes the Preach My Gospel program or the Preach My Gospel book or Preach My Gospel. Can you explain a little bit the Preach My Gospel system and then talk about maybe its impact that you saw in the mission field?
Preach My Gospel is a great inspired document, and we stuck very, very closely to that. It was the source for any questions that came up. How do we teach? How do we do this? How do we do that? We would go to the Preach My Gospel to find the answers. One of the real impacts of that is the desire to change from a memorized text to teaching from the heart. And you can imagine the impact that it'd have on someone, but just maybe giving one example. We were working with a missionary, and he was a young missionary and had it memorized. He knew the lesson well, and that was about all the Spanish he could speak. But he did that from memory, and I kept saying, "Elder, why don't you try it again and use your own example? Why don't you try it again and just tell me from the heart?" And he'd repeat the exact memorized words over and over again. And he and I had this little dialogue for about 15 minutes. And then something happened. And he started to teach that lesson from his heart. The room went quiet. The rest of the missionaries turned and looked and said, "What's going on?" You could feel a change when these missionaries come in and teach from their hearts.
And the spirit that bears witness as they do that.
In phenomenal impact.
Yeah. And I think many times the gift of tongues and other spiritual gifts have much more play because they're reaching down and trusting more into the Spirit as they teach instead of a memorized dialogue.
I think what happens for us is that I'm a missionary from those memorized dialogues, and I memorized the lesson, and that was what I taught. But this particular thing of preach my gospel challenges a missionary to apply the doctrine to himself personally. What comes out of that is a powerful testimony of that principle they're trying to teach. One of the questions we ask frequently was the very first one is God is a loving heavenly Father, and then the second principle is the gospel blesses families. And often we would ask a missionary, "Elder, how has the gospel blessed your family?" "Well, it just has." "No, Elder, how has the gospel blessed your family?" And when they stopped and thought about that, when they went in to teach investigators, it was coming right from their heart.
We also found a great blessing that happened is we Preach My Gospel really focuses on teaching the missionaries to teach investigators, not teach lessons. And as you focus on the investigators' needs, as you look for their doubts, and as you answer their questions, the lesson becomes tailor-made for them. And I think that's one of the main focuses of Preach My Gospel.
Yeah, that's powerful. And you can see the inspiration of our living prophets who have engaged themselves so personally and with so much attention to create something that really has had an impact, I think, across the world.
It's having a huge impact in Europe.
We're on the Mormon Channel. This is Into All the World. I'm Tim Taggart, hosting, and we're visiting today with President and Sister Duval, who served in the Spain Bilbao mission, just returned a couple of weeks ago. It's a delight to be able to visit today. One of the opportunities that we have of having Sister Mary Duval with us is hearing the sister side of the equation of a mission president. I was mentioning to our producer before the show, as a mission president, I just had such a powerful experience having a companion and in the lives of every single missionary. Sister Taggart had a profound and powerful influence. And as a result of that, when our son, who was with us in the mission field, then went into the mission field in Brazil, we didn't worry a bit about him because we knew he had a mission mom as well as a great mission president, and it gave us a completely different perspective on things. And I'm sure that the impact of your love and your teaching, there are very few parents, I think, who understand the impact of being able to have their sons or daughters taught the doctrines of the gospel from a powerful woman who understands the scriptures, as well as from a mission president. We expect it of the mission president, but when, as a couple, you teach together, it really has an impact of the spirit. Was that your experience?
Yes, I thought it was a great benefit, and I think it helped the missionaries understand that a couple are on equal grounds, that, I'm not just over looking, checking their pisos out, but I also understand the gospel and that they're going to look for someone who has a powerful testimony to be an eternal companion with also.
We wanted to make sure at every zone conference, for example, that Sister Duval had an opportunity to teach the gospel. She was set apart as a missionary, and we wanted her to have that experience, number one, but also being set apart as a missionary, she had the power and authority to teach from her heart and show exactly how it ought to be done. She was a great example for these young men and young women.
It's great for them to be able to see a dynamic priesthood holder and a spiritual and dynamic sister combined together as a couple in a marriage relationship, and they begin to have a vision, because so many of our missionaries don't have both a father and a mother who are married and sealed in the temple and have a happy relationship. Did you find that true among your missionaries?
Well, again, the majority of our missionaries came from families who were still together, who were sealed. That was a marvelous blessing that came to us because of the pool we were drawing from. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't always the case in Spain. You'd come from many of those Spanish missionaries. Their parents didn't want them to serve. They were encouraging them not to serve. And if they did, they might have a part member parents or even not knowing who, not having any experience with their dad or whatever. But it was a great opportunity to set an example of what that could be.
Spain is a long ways away from Salt Lake. In what way did you feel the influence of the brethren in your mission, both of the missionaries and the members? Much exposure to visiting general authorities or to the teachings of the living prophets among the members and missionaries?
Well, General Conference was a big deal, and we tried our very best to make that a special weekend for everyone. That was really the first time that a new convert would even know what a prophet is. Our missionaries would go in and say, "Do you believe Thomas S. Monson is a prophet of God?" And they'd say, "Yeah, I believe he is," never having seen him or heard a word of what he had said. They just took it on faith. And then when they'd get to go to conference and see him on the screen, listen to him talk, it had a profound impact on their desire to continue with their testimony.
Any experiences that you'd like to share as far as converts who joined the church and their lives, you saw their lives change?
We had one in particular that really touched my heart. She was a young woman who was really struggling in her life. She was at a point where she didn't have any money. She was a single mom and was sitting one day on a bench just as discouraged as she could. She didn't know where she was going to get her next dime to even feed her son. And the missionaries walked past the bench, and as they did, they made eye contact with her, but they were in a hurry. They had another appointment, and they just kind of kept going on. A few steps later, one of the missionaries stopped, and he said, "We need to go back and speak to that woman." And so he turned around and walked back and said, I'm sorry, but I just had the feeling that we needed to stop and speak with you." And she said, "Oh, that's interesting, because as I watched you pass, I had the exact same feeling." And as they began working with her and teaching her, she was touched by the powerful teachings of the gospel and the great love that she felt from the missionaries and members. And today she's serving in the primary presidency 2 years later in a branch that really needs her strength. Her son is very active and very strong in the gospel, and she's been a great blessing.
Isn't that interesting how the Spirit touches someone's life?
In northern Spain, probably the most dominant religion is atheism. People just don't believe in God anymore, and if they do believe in him, he's a very distant power way off somewhere that has no direct correlation to their life. And the missionaries were knocking doors one day, and an older gentleman answered the door, and I said, "Oh, I kind of know who you are. And come on in. It's a hot day. Come on in and sit down." And they said, "Well, we'd like to share a message with you." And he said, "I have absolutely no interest in your message. I have no interest in what you've got to say, but I'm kind enough to let you come in and just rest for a minute, and I'll listen for just a few minutes." They said, "We have a DVD that we'd like to share with you. It's only 6 minutes. It's called Finding Happiness. And we'd just like to share it with you." And he said, "Remember, I have no interest in your message, but I'll watch it just because you've asked." They put it in. When it was done, he said, "That's exactly how I feel. Do you have the answers to that?" And a month later was baptized.
That's great. It's so interesting, because what you're saying is true. And Europe has become a very difficult place to do missionary work because there are so many non-believers. And what's your experience with Europe and the difficulty and what you perceive as what's happening with the church and church growth in Europe?
Well, the way we'd like to describe that is the faith of a prophet. When he said that we would like to change this, we'd like to raise the bar, we'd like to preach my gospel, all of the things that took place, and then President Monson keeping going with that, President Uchtdorf coming out and said, we can baptize anywhere, and the area presidency saying, we can baptize anywhere. And what's happening is in the year 2006, that turned around. 2007 was going up. This year, it's just going incredible in Europe. There has been a phenomenal change, a fundamental change that's taken place because of this effort that's taking place, because of the preparation of the missionaries, because of the preparation of the members. There is something happening in Europe, and it's a fundamental and glorious thing to participate in.
It's interesting that with the Lord's help, missionaries and members can work together to find people to teach.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat of a miraculous thing as you look at it overall. What's the main way of finding people to teach in the Spain-Bilbao mission?
Mostly it's street contacting. Everyone by the culture is out on the street. They live in very small rooms in large apartment buildings. And so every evening during the day, if you're just cooped up in a very small little buildings. They have nice parks. They have benches everywhere. People just go out and walk. And so street contacting is a very, very common one. Knocking doors, for sure, is still part of our way of doing things. But more and more, it comes to member referrals as well. We had a little thing where we recognized that members really want to participate in missionary work, but fundamentally don't know how. And so as we would try and get them to practice with us in visits, they would become more involved and want to be more involved with the missionaries. And as they became more involved with the missionaries, the work just seemed to grow in as a direct result of that.
Is it easy or difficult for the individuals who are currently members of the church to fellowship and friendship the new members? Is that something that's easy in Spain, or is that something that's a major obstacle to overcome?
I think culturally, the people in Spain have a little bit harder time opening up initially. Once they know you, they love you forever, and they're very good. But I think it's been a little bit of adjustment. But we've worked with the missionaries on helping people know how to fellowship and how to friendship, and I think it's making a huge difference also there.
They're such loving people and so willing to help and reach out. But it's that initial icebreaker that needs to happen, and we found that in street contacting and other things. So we had to get through that. We had a little trick we called the stating the obvious. So we'd walk up to somebody and say, I see you're carrying an umbrella. Just something so obvious, and they would begin the conversation, it always rains in northern Spain or something like that. But once you break that ice and begin talking, they're so willing to help. And that carries through then to members fellowshipping. If you come to church there, they'll reach out and put their arm around you after they've been introduced and get to know them.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the young men and young women and the senior couples, but mostly young men and young women that may be preparing themselves, looking forward to a mission sometime, what are the most important things that you feel after your mission experience that they need to be doing in order to prepare for a mission?
Well, I take that back to when I was a missionary, and it wasn't uncommon for a missionary to read the Book of Mormon for the first time in the mission field, or in the LTM is what it used to be called back then. That never happened to a single missionary that came out in our mission. And the preparation, because we're teaching by the Spirit, those kinds of things that you can do to become familiar with the Book of Mormon, to become familiar with Preach My Gospel, to practice in your home with your parents, practice talking to people and how would you approach this topic so that it becomes a natural thing instead of such a new thing for you. But maybe just one example, we had a missionary coming out just before we left. We only saw him one day. as we did the initial orientation. But he came out speaking hardly any Spanish. He'd just come from the MTC. Came out, and we were showing him how to do street contacts the way we do them in northern Spain. And it's kind of a four-step process, with the fourth step being you bear your testimony. And he would kind of walk through that and say, okay, President, what do I do next? And what do I do next? And kind of struggling to get through it. And we said, now here's where you bear your testimony. And he just stopped and looked me right in the eyes and bore a testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith, bore a testimony of the prophet of the day, President Monson, bore a testimony. He knew the Book of Mormon was true. Everything else was superfluous. That right there is what it's all about.
And to be able to have that powerful testimony the first day in the mission field. I think sometimes parents don't feel like they're doing much to contribute to this worldwide growth of the church without realizing that the impact they have in the lives of those young people and then the impact that they can have as a senior missionary is absolutely changing the world.
One of the questions I ask occasionally, not very often, but in a particular occasion, I would ask a Spanish missionary, for example, who was born in the church, have you always been a full tithe payer? It was kind of a key indicator for me to see where they had gone. And one young sister who just arrived in the mission looked at me and said, well, of course, my parents taught me that. I've always been a full tithe payer. Looked at me like, why would you ask that question? And I said, now we're getting the vision. She's ready.
Yeah. What a great day. This is the Mormon Channel. The program is Into All the World. I'm Tim Taggart, and we're visiting with President Ken Duvall and Sister Mary Duvall, who have recently returned from the Spain Bilbao mission and sharing their experiences. This is a marvelous opportunity for us to be able to share for a few minutes and talk about your experiences and appreciate Sister Duvall being able to have you here. One of the great experiences of a mission president is seeing the missionaries grow and change. Have you got a couple of experiences that you'd like to share about that kind of a change in growth that you saw in missionaries over the course of their mission?
Well, one of my favorite opportunities was on a Tuesday, we would have all the new missionaries come in, and you would have them, you could see them. They were scared and nervous, but you could just see the enthusiasm and excitement they had, and they're ready to change the world. And then the next night, you have the missionaries that are leaving the mission. And so it's a stark contrast between these two groups of young boys and the men that they become as they leave. One of the most pronounced experiences I had was a missionary as he was giving his final testimony before he left the mission. He was from France, and he was a good young man, very strong, came from a very active family. But as he came into the mission, he said, I had the idea that I came here to change the mission. And he said, but now as I leave, I realize the mission changed me. And to me, it was just one of those great testimonies of what a mission can do for any man. No matter what level they come on or what level they leave on, the mission blesses their life.
One of the interesting things to see was the broad range of experience and backgrounds. Every missionary came in as a unique individual, and it didn't matter where they were at. Even the very best that came out had a life-changing, life-altering experience. And so some came out with hardly any church background. We had one young man came out who's been a member of the church 1 year, and he came out not knowing hardly anything. He's the only member of his family. And yet, no matter where they start from, the Lord has a custom-tailored program designed for them.
To assist them on their journey, but by helping so many others on their journey. And there isn't a single missionary who doesn't influence other missionaries as well as all of the people they teach, and especially the members. Sometimes you don't realize that it's the way the Lord grows the church is by influencing the membership of the church with these great young men and young women.
Often a young man will say, well, it's my decision and it doesn't impact anybody else. But I want to testify that we cannot comprehend the breadth of the influence that a young man causes when he goes out on a mission. These people who join the church, the people he stops in the street, this mother with the little kid who pointed to him and said, I want you to be like him. members of the church, somebody who's struggling. There just isn't any way to quantify. And as our missionaries would go home, we promised them that we'd keep writing them with stories about the influence and the people that they taught. And we titled it, "We're Still Counting." And you'll be counting for the rest of eternity, I think, the influence that you had during those 2 years on a mission.
That's marvelous. Well, to conclude our program today, President Duvall, if you would, why don't you share your testimony with us, and then Sister Duvall, and then if you would, President, afterwards, how about sharing your testimony with us in Spanish?
Well, I'd love to. I just want to leave you with my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great opportunity. This is a marvelous work that's going forward. It's a way that each of us can participate, but more than participate from a testimony standpoint, we can witness the rolling forward of this stone that's filling the whole earth. We start out with these small little branches, and they grow to be wards, and then they grow to be stakes, and it's the work of the Lord rolling forward on this earth, and I testify that He is deeply involved. I taught myself early on that the Lord knows and loves these missionaries so deeply that when a missionary asked me a question, I paid attention because I knew we were both going to learn something. And I loved associating with them. I love these missionaries and the marvelous work that's taking place. I testify of a living prophet. I testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I think serving a mission was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I always thought I had a very powerful testimony, but it's amazing how the Lord can take you and mold you and build your testimony and build the strength that you have and be able to use your talents and skills in ways that you can't imagine yourself doing. I know that this church is true. I love it with all of my heart. I think one of the things that my eyes were open to more than anything while we served was the hand of the Lord in our lives every single day. And as we looked for those miracles, as we looked for the great blessing that He had for each one of us, we saw His hand in every aspect of missionary work. I testify the Savior Jesus Christ. I know He's my Savior. I know He lived, and I know He died for me that I might have the opportunity to return. I'm grateful for Joseph Smith, who made the choice to go into that grove that day, because it literally changed my life and millions of people around the world that have this wonderful blessing because of the choice he made. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Quiero compartir mi testimonio con todos los santos de los últimos días que hablan español. A ustedes que hablan mucho mejor que yo, yo quiero compartir mi testimonio en este idioma tan precioso. Esta oportunidad de decirles que yo sé que el Evangelio es verdadero, que la Iglesia nos trae la felicidad y la paz en esta vida. No es solamente para la vida venidera, pero para ayudarnos en cada día. Yo sé que el Libro de Mormón contiene todas las respuestas que necesitamos en esta vida para ayudarnos, para guiarnos, y para ayudarnos a ser mejores padres, hijos y vecinos al uno al otro. Quiero decirles que les amo con todo mi corazón a los que hablan español. Y si usted puede entender esto, pueda saber que yo le quiero con todo mi corazón. Dios vive en cualquier idioma. Dios nos ama. El Salvador, Jesucristo es mi Salvador, mi Redentor, y gracias por la oportunidad de ser su discípulo y servirle. Les doy mi testimonio de esta obra, la obra misional, y esta gran obra que va a llenar todo el mundo. En el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén.
This has been Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, with President and Sister Ken and Mary Duvall, who served in the Spain Bilbao mission. I'm Tim Taggart.
You have been listening to Into All the World.